Chapter 12, as we continue our study tonight. Are you looking for something? Oh. Thank you, Jesus. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to every man to profit with all. The gift that you have is for someone else's benefit. Amen? It's not for yourself. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith. Faith activates all the gifts. But this is a supernatural gift of faith to operate in things that are impossible. By the same Spirit, another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, which leads us to where we're at tonight, where it says, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And when I was looking at this, I'm going to do an acrostic on the word tide. Tide. A tide is what? T-I-D-E, it's a powerful surge, amen? And we're praying for a powerful surge of the gifts, okay? Amen? That the gifts be activated and put to practice for the benefit of the body. So the first, the T, represents tongues. Tongues. So go with me to Acts chapter 2. We're familiar with this. And until it's activated, the Father says, keep teaching until we have understanding. And once we have understanding, it starts manifesting. Oh my goodness, here you go. You have a pen? Or are you going to write with? Your finger? She does bite, Michael. But she's had her shots. Hallelujah. So first we're looking at the gift of tongues. So go with me in Acts chapter 2, verse number 3. Somebody's got tongues there, I hear. Oh, that's your phone. I thought there was a duck in the room. It was raining outside. Amen. Sound like a quack quack to me. Sound like somebody talking about me. Pastor Carl's quack, quack. Amen. Verse number 3 says, and there appeared to them cloven tongues of fire. Cloven means separated. Okay, the tongue was separated. They're speaking two languages. Tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Recognize that this was a supernatural event, and this isn't the gift of tongues necessarily for the body of Christ in the fellowship in the church. This was a supernatural. I believe this was like the reverse of the Tower of Babel, where the languages were confounded in the Tower of Babel, and God reversed it, and everyone understood. Because the word says in verse number 6, now this was noise abroad. The multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt, and the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And then some others were mocking. And the same thing happens when you get in the fellowship and somebody begins to speak in tongues. Some people might understand and others might mock. Amen? Because it's a little bit different. Amen? I think it's interesting in Acts chapter 10, turn to Acts 10, the magnification of God and how God uses this gift. And verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they were the circumcision were which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles, which represents us, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they prayed for him to tarry there certain days. And so we find that the God's being magnified through the tongues. But tongues is a mystery in the body of Christ without an interpreter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 5, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I would that you all spake with tongues. In other words, he's encouraging everyone to speak in tongues. But rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. That the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. So in the body of Christ, when we're in the corporate fellowship together, the gift of tongues doesn't operate much in this day. I used to always witness it that when I was with the Assemblies of God, there was always tongues and interpretation of tongues because that's the way the church operated. But at the same time, God hasn't done away from the gift, because the gift is still still here, because it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. But he says it's better for you to prophesy unless you have an interpreter. You know, I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking about, say something in the Hispanic language. Just speak something. Just say something. Say again. Did anybody understand what she said? Well, that was like an unknown tongue, right? Now the interpretation.
What would you like me to say?
What would you like me to say? In other words, that's the same effect in the body of Christ if there's tongues with no interpretation. Did anybody have understanding of what she said? No. In other words, it had to be interpreted to bring edification to the body. Amen? What I want you to say. Now, say, quote, what scripture, what's your favorite scripture?
I don't know. I don't know most of those in Spanish.
Huh?
I don't know a lot of the scriptures in Spanish.
Correct Sonia in Spanish.
Correct her?
What did you say?
Stop doing that.
Okay. Yeah, Sonia. No, so when the tongue, see how it need, we need an interpreter. You know, I was thinking about the different dialects, and I was thinking about the Hispanic language. How many different dialects is there in the Spanish language? A lot. And then the Lord showed me there's a lot in the English language too. You can go to Boston, it would be hamburgers, hot dogs. You could go to New York and it'd be East 33rd Street, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother. You could come to Virginia and it'd be up the creek. All right. Sometimes you almost need an interpreter with the English language. You know, if truly, amen, if you're not accustomed to it. Yeah. So, secondly, we need interpreters. Look with me in Daniel chapter 5. If they're not speaking in English, don't take it. Tell them to turn the chicken over. All right? Get the other side. Just kidding. All right. Daniel 5, verse number 12. Daniel was an interpreter. Daniel interpreted visions and things of the Lord. And Daniel 5:12, forasmuch as he has an excellent spirit, speaking of Daniel, and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, who the king named Belteshazzar, and not let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. In other words, sometimes things need to be interpreted for us to have understanding. You know, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. And if there's no benefit to anybody, if we're speaking in tongues and they don't understand or don't have understanding what's being said. So look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul says in verse number 7, he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Amen. God wants us to understand. What we understand becomes wisdom. Okay, we have the wisdom in Proverbs chapter 2. So what I'm saying to you here is the interpretation brings understanding. Proverbs 2, verse number 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So the I is for interpretation of tide. The T is for tongues, interpretation of tongues. The D represents discernment. Discernment. Now, when we look at discernment, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 14. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amen? So God wants us to have discernment. Amen? One of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about is when we discern according to the Word of God, we're not taken by deception. In other words, there's many people that are speaking, but they're not speaking the truth. And if they're not speaking the truth, it's a lie. Yes. It's not the truth. A half-truth is a lie.
That's right.
You know? So when we look at this, I was reminded, he took me to Ezekiel chapter 44. Verse 23, he says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the clean, unclean and the clean. Amen? You know, discernment, what's good and what's evil. We live in a very evil time. Amen. Matter of fact, back in Ezekiel 22, the prophet Ezekiel was speaking about the priest. And it says in verse 23 of Ezekiel 22, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hid their eyes from the Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with tempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken." In other words, the Lord will never say what's wrong is right. Amen? In other words, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't change, he's the Lord, I change not. His word is stable. His word is our stability. Amen. And so many times what's taking place is there's the prophetic lies to feed the flesh. You know, this is a monster. Amen. You know, when you're battling your flesh and you're fighting your flesh, like you got your ladies do it, you fit. You're battling your flesh. Amen. Because your flesh is a strong adversary. Amen? And it's a battle. Amen? And you can't continue to do wrong. In other words, if you were going to, you're battling your flesh and you're going to change your lifestyle, you can't do the old thing and expect something new to happen in your life. Things have to change. I was talking to the Lord about the voice of God. And what he was saying to me, listen to me. What he's saying to me about his voice is his children, most of the time, don't want to hear their voice, his voice, because his voice represents change. You know, God wants to transform us. God wants to renew us. God wants to do some things in our hearts and our lives and our homes. God wants to do something in each and every one of us. Amen. You're a treasure to him. You're a treasured vessel. And he loves you. And he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. Amen? So as we're looking at this, we have to, you know, he says to us that we need to discern. In other words, is this according to your word or is it not? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5. We're to grow up, the mature. Amen? There's a warning here from the writer of Hebrews for apostasy and the last day, a great falling away. All right? That's what apostasy is, a falling away. And he says in verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you were dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." It's either good or it's not. Amen? So it's he talks about our mindset, and the mindset, if you look with me in Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 7. He says, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Amen? In other words, God has given us everything we need. Amen? By justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen? So we're believing God. We're looking at the gift of tongues that's available to each and every one of us. And each of us should speak in tongues as an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But in the body, if there's tongues, there should be the interpretation of tongues to bring understanding and edification in the body of Christ. But the discernment is so important. Amen? To be led by the Lord to discern what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. Amen. And the E I have for effectiveness. Just so I can finish the tide there. But in Ephesians chapter 4, and this is where we're going next week. In parts of the body and us all coming together. But the Word of God says in verse 15 of Ephesians 4, verse number 15, but we're speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him into all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of them in the measure, working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. And in other words, as our gifts are coming together, we need your part. Yep. You need our part. Yep. We function to better together in unity and operating together. Amen? That's why the adversary so many times tries to divide the body of Christ. But the Apostle Paul said in our text today, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, talking about all the gifts, but all these work of that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. That means that everyone, he said every man, has a gift. Yes. Now you either have a gift of healing or of miracles, the gift of faith, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy, a gift of discernment. All these gifts are to be in operation in the body of Christ. You know, when we come together, really, seriously, listen to me, church. There's one thing on Sunday, but when we come together on Wednesday nights, as Spirit-filled men and women, we ought to have a Holy Ghost good time.
Eagle.
Hello? You see anything wrong with having the Holy Ghost good time?
No.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Church is a fun place to be.
Yes, it is.
Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You know, I covet your gifts. Yes. Amen? And your gifts are important and they're valuable. Amen? And you're valuable and you're important. You're valuable and important to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're valuable and important to us. And you're valuable and important to the body of Christ. Yes. Everybody's valued. Yes. And you have great value. Amen?
Amen?
The world may tell you you don't have value, but God says you have great value.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Any questions on the gifts of the Spirit? Wow, it's a whole lot. I must explain really well. Did everybody understand tonight? If you understood, raise your hand. So who was the Lord speaking to tonight? Raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So can we just all stand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're so grateful for your word, Lord. And we're grateful that you sent it here tonight to accomplish something in our hearts and our lives. Father, perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment. And you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And your word declared tonight, you said this was like a tide with the gifts. It's a powerful surge. And as the Holy Spirit surges in and through our lives, Father God, may we answer the call that you placed upon each and every one of us. May we operate in the gifts that you deposited in us, Father God. And may you be glorified. And may you be magnified. Father, we're binding that spirit of fear right now in Jesus' name, Father God. Because the adversary wants to hold us in a complacent place, Father God. But your word declares for us to arise and the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. So tonight we're saying, Father God, let God arise in us. May the gifts of God that are in us arise and be magnified and can be expressed outwardly to others, Father God, in a supernatural way. Just like a flow of electricity, Father God, that's flowing and with contact, Father God, and we're contacting you. And we're praising you and we're giving you glory. So right now, I just want you to do something right now. I just want you to lift your hands and I want you to give God thanks for the gift that he's given you. Start thanking him for your gift. Start thanking him for your gift. He's calling on you to answer the call on your life to let that gift be expressed to others. So right now, Father God, I pray for supernatural faith for every last one that's in this room, Father God, because you're going to arise in them in a supernatural way. Why? Because I said it, but because your word says it. And we believe you at your word. You said that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall have dreams. And on your servants and your handmaidens will you pour out your spirit in these last days. We are in the last days and we praise you and give you glory for a fresh encounter with the Holy Ghost. So Lord, we'll never cease to give you praise for all you've done and everything you're doing. And we'll never cease to give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.